Carol was already at Holyoke when I got there. She had brought a couple of milk boxes from the area where the dumpsters were lined up and was sitting on one of them, legs crossed, smoking a cigarette. I sat down on the other one, put my arm around her, and kissed her. She put her head on my shoulder for a moment, not saying anything. This wasn't much like her, but it was nice. I kept my arm around her and looked up at the stars. The night was mild for so late in the season, and lots of people, couples mostly, were out walking, taking advantage of the weather. I could hear their murmured conversations. From above us, in the Commons dining room, a radio was playing Hang On Sloopy, one of the janitors, I suppose. Carol raised her head at last and moved away from me a little, just enough to let me know I could take my arm back. That was more like her, actually. "Thanks," she said. "I needed a hug." "My pleasure. I'm a little scared about facing my dad. Not real scared, but a little. It'll be all right. Not saying it because I really thought it would be. I couldn't know a thing like that. But because it's what you say, isn't it? Just what you say. My dad's not the reason I went with Harry and George and the rest. It's no big Freudian rebellion or anything like that." She flicked her cigarette away, and we watched it fountain sparks when it struck the bricks of Bennett's Walk. Then she took her little clutch purse out of her lap, opened it, found her wallet, opened that, and thumbed through a selection of snapshots stuck in those small celluloid windows. She stopped, slipped one out, and handed it to me. I leaned forward so I could see it by the light falling through the dining hall windows, where the janitors were probably doing the floors. The picture showed three kids of 11 or 12, a girl and two boys. They were all wearing blue T-shirts with the words Sterling House on them in red block letters. They were standing in a parking lot somewhere and had their arms around each other, an easy pals forever pose that was sort of beautiful. The girl was in the middle. The girl was Carol, of course. "Which one is Sully John?" I asked. She looked at me a little surprised, but with a smile. In any case, I thought, I already knew. Sully John would be the one with the broad shoulders, the wide grin, and the tumbled black hair. It reminded me of Stokes' hair, although the boy had obviously run a comb through his thatch. I tapped him. "This one, right?" "That's Sully," she agreed, then touched the face of the other boy with her fingernail. He had a sunburn rather than a tan. His face was narrower, the eyes a little closer together, the hair a carroty red and mowed in a crew cut that made him look like a kid on a Norman Rockwell Saturday Evening Post cover. There was a faint frown line on his brow. Sully's arms were already muscular for a kid's. This other boy had thin arms, thin stick arms. They were probably still thin stick arms. On the hand not slung around Carol's shoulders, he was wearing a big brown baseball glove.